This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Als Gründerinnen und Gründer willst du vor allem eins, schnell vorankommen. Egal ob beim Product Market Fit, deinem nächsten Schritt oder deinem ersten großen Enterprise Deal. Doch mit KI, die Entwicklung immer schneller macht, steigen auch die Anforderungen an Sicherheit. Und das früher als je zuvor. Wer Themen wie Security und Compliance richtig angeht, ermöglicht Wachstum. Wer zu lange wartet, bremst es aus. Deshalb setzen viele Startups früh auf Wanta und wachsen sicher weiter. Wanta macht es einfach mit tiefen Integrationen, starker Automatisierung und kontinuierlichem Monitoring, das mithält. Und wenn es ans Audit geht, seien Wochen bereit, nicht erst in Monaten. Jetzt starten auf wanta.com. Als Gründerinnen und Gründer willst du vor allem eins, schnell vorankommen. Egal ob beim Product Market Fit, deinem nächsten Schritt oder deinem ersten großen Enterprise Deal. Doch mit KI, die Entwicklung immer schneller macht, steigen auch die Anforderungen an Sicherheit. Und das früher als je zuvor. Wer Themen wie Security und Compliance richtig angeht, ermöglicht Wachstum. Wer zu lange wartet, bremst es aus. Deshalb setzen viele Startups früh auf Wanta und wachsen sicher weiter. Wanta macht es einfach mit tiefen Integrationen, starker Automatisierung und kontinuierlichem Monitoring, das mithält. Und wenn es ans Audit geht, seien Wochen bereit, nicht erst in Monaten. Jetzt starten auf wanta.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, Radio, Podcasts.
Hello. David here with a new mini-series from The Briefing Room. We're packaging up some bits you may have heard before on other programmes, which are still very relevant, so they can explain specific things that are going on in the world. In today's Briefing Room explainer, the conflict in Ukraine, a quick rundown on how it developed. Here's Michael Clark, visiting professor in the Department of War Studies, King's College London, and a former director of the Royal United Services Institute.
When the Russians first walked in on the 24th of February, 2022, what they intended quite clearly was a military-backed coup, because they intended to seize the government in Kyiv within 72 hours and then suppress any problems they had in the major eastern cities within 3 or 4 weeks after that. That had to be the intention because they didn't devote enough troops to do anything more. They had fewer than 190,000 troops in a territory that's the biggest territory in Europe, apart from Russia itself, and a country of 44 million people. So it's far too small a force to invade the country. When we talk about a coup, most people think of it as an internal struggle. And there was some sense of that in what the Russians were trying. They had a puppet government ready to move in and take over. And they had at least two or three squads in Kyiv, all of whom were tasked to get hold of Zelensky and his family and kill them. And we all remember there was lots of wild firing in the streets of Kyiv.
You can hear the artillery. That is outgoing fire from Ukrainian forces. The fear here is that very soon Russian forces will be making their way down here.
At least two and probably three of those assassination squads were gunned down. No survivors. They were just summarily gunned down by the Ukrainians. And what really happened was that Zelensky came out on the streets less than 48 hours after the beginning of the invasion, and the most important speech of his life.
Голова офісу президента тут, прем'єр-міністр Шмигаль тут, Подоляк тут, президент тут.
He made out on the street, lasted no more than 40 seconds, and he said, I'm here, the Minister of Defense is here, the Foreign Minister is here, here we are in Kyiv, we're not going anywhere, we are here. And that established the fact that he was alive, he would continue to resist, and the Ukrainians would fight.
Слава нашим захисникам, слава нашим захисницям, слава Україні. Слава Україні.
And then the Russian strategy seemed to change to being a strategy of conquest of the Donbas region and as much as they could get of the country east of the Dnieper River.
Russian and Ukrainian forces have clashed along a broad front across the eastern Donbas region on the first full day of a new phase of Moscow's invasion.
So then it turned into a struggle for conquest in the autumn of 2022, but the Russians were doing very badly. And those first two strategies played to Ukrainian strengths and Western strengths in helping Ukraine to outwit the Russians. And the Russians were very incompetent in the way they conducted their operations. Then it changed in really 2023. In the spring of 2023, Putin doubled down and doubled down on the doubling down.
This is a continued attempt by the Kremlin to try to legitimise its occupation, but also to send a message to Kyiv that it's digging in for the long haul. We have yet.
Since the spring and summer of 2023, it has been increasingly a war of attrition in which a country like Ukraine, which is actually only got about 33 million people who now live outside the Russian dominated areas, are up against a country of about 140 million people in Russia with an economy that's a great deal bigger. A war of attrition is a war in which neither side expects to make dramatic breakthroughs, but to grind the other side down. And however brave the Ukrainians are and however inventive they are, without more Western support, they were always going to struggle in a war of attrition. And it pointed up the weaknesses of Western support because the West doesn't seem to be prepared really for a war of attrition.
Ukraine is desperately in need of continued assistance from the United States and obviously the European community as well, and that it's very important for us to get this.
The Russians have lost a great many men. The casualties are said now to have reached about 700,000. That's killed and seriously wounded. They will certainly go to over a million if they carry on. And they've bent their economy out of shape in order to conduct this war. Ukraine has found itself having to deal with the problem that it cannot win. It can only lose slowly.
Thanks very much for listening to today's Explainer. We'll be publishing these every week, a new mini-series. So make sure you follow The Briefing Room on BBC Sounds or wherever you get your podcasts so that you don't miss an episode when we publish them. And also remember, you can go back and listen to any of our recent episodes on BBC Sounds. They're available now. Until the next time, goodbye.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.